Season 2, Episode 7 now. We're moving pretty quickly here. And with that in mind, today I'd like to introduce Mark Cheatham from Redbox VR. He's the commercial sales manager there. And today, what really struck me was the interesting use cases that have come up for VR, especially VR in healthcare. And with that in mind, I'd like to dive deep into the interview. So welcome, Mark, to the Digital Health Voice. It's a pleasure to having you here with us. We really appreciate. And, you know, the main question that we ask to all of our guests, really and truly, is what's your digital health journey? What brought you here with us today in the first place? I mean, even like I had a look at your journey, and you spent a lot of time working within the photography industry with Ricoh specifically. Can you tell us more about your journey in general?
Yeah, certainly. First of all, thank you for having me on the Digital Health Voice. It's great to be here. But yeah, as you say, my entire career, so far has been spent in before I joined Redbox in the photography industry, and I've achieved a lot in that and worked with some amazing companies, Olympus and Ricoh being two extremely well-known companies. And in fact, Olympus obviously very well-known in the medical sector as well. Mm-hmm. But I was working in the photography sector. The last sort of 3 years I was at Ricoh, I was selling the 360 product, the theta cameras. And that is, I sort of managed that category for the UK. And that is where I got exposed to VR and started working with a number of VR companies in the UK. And I suppose that's where my interest in the technology started. It was early on in this year that I started working for Redbox VR. I'd known the owner and founder, Simon Fretwell, for a long time. He was one of my customers when I was at Ricoh. That's how we know each other. And I'll just tell your the listeners a little bit about the Redbox story, because we've been around quite a bit. So the company was set up in 2016. So in VR terms, we're dinosaurs.
Already, okay.
And that's when VR started becoming a bit more mainstream in education, with technologies such as Google Cardboard and equivalent things.
Yeah.
Then it's mobile phone VR that really made a difference to our business. VR gaming then, I think, brought VR more to the mainstream. Even inside your house, with the launch of sort of PlayStation VR, Oculus Rift in 2016. Yeah. Then on an education level, there was a huge change. Google launched Expeditions, which was a platform aimed at the education market. That's when we really got involved in the education sector and selling our equipment. Then something, not long after that, or a bit after that, but a massive change in the market was a little thing called coronavirus. Mm-hmm. We shut all our schools, we shut all our businesses. And that's actually when we as a business started getting contact from healthcare, predominantly the NHS in the UK. And then because of that, and something else which was quite major for the UK, Brexit. So because of Brexit, and I'm coming to something quite, which means quite a lot to us here, we started distributing. We became a major distributor for Pico, which is one of the top brands of enterprise-grade headsets. And because it was quite difficult after Brexit, if you just wanted to buy a small number of Pico headsets, we took on a distributor level agreement, and we're now a huge distributor of Pico products. We now work with several NHS trusts and various companies that support the NHS in the UK. And I think it's fair to say that what's interesting is the breadth of use where we can deploy VR in the medical sector. We started working with Sigma and the MedTech World. We joined MedTech World in Malta this year, just a few weeks back.
Yeah,
where we met you. It was an amazing event. Me and Simon had an amazing time. And I mean, what made it even more amazing is the fact that we won an award on awards night. And so we won the best use of the metaverse in healthcare,
which
was voted by other people, which was amazing. So yeah, we predominantly are a hardware company. That's how we started out, but we've now shifted into more of a solutions provider. So we don't just sell healthcare hardware. We can now supply the entire solution. We work with key partners in the industry. One who was with us on the stand at MedTech World, RUVR, an amazing software platform. So that's where we came from. It was from 2016 to selling Google Cardboard to being sort of, I won't say ingrained in healthcare because it's still very early stages, but certainly making our mark in the healthcare market in the world of VR. So it's been an exciting journey so far, and I think there'll be a lot more excitement and that to come. So yeah.
Wow, quite a journey there, and especially, you know, this this link between all these different, even for example Olympus. I remember actually as when I was working in ophthalmology, I remember using a lot of Olympus machines there, you know, to do during the night shift, you know. So it's very interesting when you start seeing these companies here and there kind of being a part of your experience as well. You can't say that you're just a clinician without using a machine or anything, you know. You have to use something. We have to use some form of diagnostic device, some form maybe even of medtech device. You have to use it, otherwise you won't be able to do your work one way or another. You know, there is kind of this quandary happening there. You've mentioned something very important, but I'd love to learn more specifically about the healthcare work. And in fact, what intrigued me when I was at MedTech World, literally wearing one of the headsets which was made available there, and actually going to the operating room where I was able to see like an educational video, and it kind of took me back a journey in time to when I was a medical student, where actually I was in the operating room, but sometimes I used to feel like a wallpaper, literally, because we would be there, but we wouldn't be seeing the actual what's happening in the operating table, because there would be this distance. And then all of a sudden, you guys, when you came up with this, you know, with this image on the right hand side and seeing what's happening there, that's pretty impressive. And I wanted to tell you, like, are you working with specific trusts about this? Can you tell us more about your journey there? What's happening, and how is that evolving? What's your experience there so far?
So I think the content that you're referring to that you was looking at is actually a piece of RUVR's material.
Oh, okay.
It was being shown on our headset. You make a good point there about if you're a medical student and you are watching a procedure, whether that, especially in a theatre, which as we know, there's a lot of equipment, there's very little room, and there's 20 medical students crammed in there, you don't see an awful lot. And also it's a heightened risk to the patient, which obviously that's at the foremost we've got to be on our minds. But the use of VR, first of all, once you've filmed that procedure, filmed that scene, and it's stored on a computer somewhere in the metaverse, wherever it might be stored, that can be deployed again and again and again, relentlessly. Students can watch it again. Not just 20 students can watch it, 20,000 students can watch it. So it makes that training material so much more available, so much more cost effective. I'm not saying it will replace, and it never will replace, the practical side of training, but what it will do is certainly equip students better for when they get to that stage. We can train more people quicker. I don't know what it's like in other countries in Europe, but I know in the UK we have a huge void of healthcare professionals. We've not got enough, and there's not enough being trained. And I suppose modern training methods can help that by making that training process more efficient and getting people through the system, or getting them to that level where they can start the practical side maybe a little bit sooner, and maybe with a little bit more confidence as well. So yes, we are. What's interesting is the different ways in which we're seeing VR requested to be used in healthcare. There is some extremely high-end medical VR content that is very expensive. It's because it's been very expensive to produce, and it's surgical grade training. That is fantastic. That's the sexy part of the VR medical world. But it's only available to very, very few people. And ultimately, that side of things, you certainly need to do the practical work, because it's operating procedures. Where we're seeing in the UK especially, where healthcare professionals are wanting to deploy VR en masse, is actually at the lower end of the medical spectrum. And that's the teaching of first aid and the teaching of basic procedures, where not only are they being used in at that very early stage of people's training, but also going out into the community, football clubs, scout groups, whatever it might be, to teach those people first aid, but to do it more efficiently using the technology that's available to us. So it is interesting that at the very top end, there's software products that cost literally hundreds of thousands of pounds. But then the stuff that can really make the difference, in my mind, is that stuff that is relatively cost effective, but trains people in a simple way to maybe save lives day in, day out, that aren't medical professionals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, CPR definitely saves hundreds of and thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, you know. But what you've brought out there, you know, is this idea of like scale, you know. And honestly, like, if I had the opportunity in my med school, I would definitely have preferred, you know, at some point, instead of having to go at the theater and then kind of juggle also the theater and the lectures later on during the day, I would honestly have preferred having a focus session, for example, where I could actually see the procedure from home and I actually see the operating field, not just staying there sometimes feeling extremely cold because of the climate control in those rooms. And then at a specific point in time, I would be given the full attention and being told in advance that, listen, I'm going to be in that room where you're going to do the practical stuff. You're going to see, you're going to be right there. And, you know, like this, even also for infection control procedures, you know, if you have too many people in one room, you know, it can definitely have an impact. And we've seen this also during the pandemic. So there are definitely a lot of opportunities to rethink the way we do this. And when thinking about rethinking, I'd go naturally to my next question, is about how does the future look like for digital health and medtech, and how do you see Redbox VR fitting in the whole picture? Is there anything on the roadmap that you can tell us about, what you guys are looking at, and or what how things are evolving in your side?
So obviously, there's two sides in which two sides where we look at it from. One is the hardware side. Now, hardware being consumer electronics, effectively, we all know how quick that moves as a technology. So we're already seeing huge developments in the hardware side itself, whether that be the headsets. You know, if we go back 2 years, or let's a bit further, 3 years, and compare a headset then to a headset now, the quality is so much different.
Yeah.
The viewing experience is now more real, and I'm talking headsets that are only costing sort of sub £500. When you get up to that higher level, when you go to the higher level headsets, that becomes even better. We're now seeing more advancements in technology in that hardware, and that's important because it gives a more real experience for the viewer. On the software side, that is a whole different thing again. So in terms of the content that can be produced by the platforms, there's more interactive content coming out. So what we call 6DOF experiences, where you could fully interact with the environment around you, not just with your hands, with your eyes, but actually even move around a subject. So that will become more important. The gamification of VR, some people don't understand why some experiences are gamified, so that they are graphic. It's graphic content rather than film content. Quite simply, you can't go into a film and make it do what you want. Our designers, or the designers that we work with now, are building in game engines like Unreal, which, you know, if you're a PC gamer or a PlayStation 5 gamer, they're using the same technology and the same production techniques. So you can interact with your environment just like you can in a game. You can pick up a scalpel, pick up a step, operate the machinery. Yeah. It's as real as it can be. So we will see more interaction in the future. The other thing that we're a real fan of, again, just to pull it back away from the real, the stuff that when we're going to do a demo to a hospital, we do tend to, you know, they generally want to see the really high-tech, clever stuff. Yeah. We also try and focus on what I feel personally is important is the staff. So whenever we're speaking to a hospital, and they're wanting to deploy some equipment for training, we always show them sort of software platforms that can be used for relaxation and mindfulness and meditation. And, you know, don't just use it for training your staff. It's a stressful job working in a hospital or a healthcare environment, especially if you're working in an emergency room scenario. I'm sure there's times where they'd love to take 15 minutes in a staff room and go and sit on a beach in virtual reality. Use it to give your staff a break. So that's ways in which it can be used as well. It's not just the frontline medical training. It's giving your staff an opportunity to use it to actually have some time out. And that is really important. If they feel better, they perform better. Then there's another layer to it as well, where VR is being used already for treatment of various things, certainly anxiety-related issues, stress-related issues, lower forms, some kinds of mental illness it's being trialed with, distraction techniques in children. You know, a young child goes into to have blood taken or an injection, something as simple as an injection. You immerse them in a VR headset. First of all, it takes the mind off what's going on. Secondly, they can't see the needle in the hand of the doctor or the nurse. Yeah. So instantly they're more relaxed. And so there are so many ways in which our technology can be used in healthcare. Some of it's high-end and expensive. Some of it is actually as simple as taking that person out of that medical environment, which makes them feel uneasy.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic, Mark. You've made me think so much there. And even when you have a child of your own, actually you start thinking as well about these things. But with that in mind, we just tell them, look on the other side, you know, like, that's so simplistic, you know, it's like so rudimentary. But when we have so much technology available at the, you know, at the tip of our hands, really, and in a price that we can really, I think, now more than ever afford. But believe it or not, when we're like speaking about so many exciting things, we're coming to the end of our episode. But we will leave you to ask you with one final question. So we ask our guests, we give them 1 minute, and this is a bit of a surprise, to talk about any topic of their choice. But it would be a topic that you would like to raise awareness on. Okay, so it's you've got 1 minute starting now to run us through about something that you're really passionate about, or maybe Redbox VR is really passionate about. Over to you.
Okay, you have surprised me with this one, but I'm sure I can fill a minute. And I'll actually go back to, in a way, what I was just talking about, and that is mental health and how we need to, not just in our hospitals, our clinics, but across every every area of life. I think we need to try and protect people's mental health as much as possible and identify those that need help as early as possible. Whether that be children, adults. I'm very passionate about elderly care. That is something that, you know, everyone's living longer. We need to look after our older people. They looked after us. Let's look after them physically and mentally. The other area I'm passionate about is helping with the mental health of ex-armed forces personnel.
All right. Okay, wow.
And that is something that every country has armed forces. They go out there, they serve us, they come back, and sometimes they sort of get forgotten about. And we can help there, and we're already working with people that help in that environment. So that's one thing I'd say is, you know, VR is a tool that can be used whether I don't like using the word treat because I'm not a medical professional, but I'd say it can make a difference. And that's where I'd like to, I've used my minute for that. I think we should do everything we can to help people that are suffering or are vulnerable from mental health issues.
Wow. So that was quite a packed minute there, definitely. And I was surprised by what you've said because the topics that you've mentioned have never been mentioned by any other guest before. So we've done this 1 minute for a couple of people, including, you know, like we're at our 32nd episode now. So we've asked this question multiple times and you've come up with unique points, especially like talking about children, elderly, and also veterans, war veterans. I this is the first time I've heard it. And it's pretty impressive that that they go through so much trauma. You know, many times they see death in front of their eyes. They see suffering, you know, they see suffering and they see someone else suffering, not necessarily themselves. And that's crazy trauma. So like
Sorry, maybe because I'm not from a medical background, so I'm sure a lot of your guests are from a medical background. But this is, I look at the way and how the technology I now work with, how can that help as many people as possible? And I see those vulnerable groups that sometimes don't get the attention that maybe they should do. So,
yeah. Thanks, Mark, for all of this, and thanks for being on the Digital Head Voice. And with that in mind, I would like to remind our audience to follow us on their favorite podcast player. Just look up the Digital Head Voice, and you can make sure that you subscribe. And even if you think that there is something valuable, make sure you give us a rating as well. And even on Spotify, now we're asking some questions as well. So you can actually check out the questions in relation to the episode so that we can kind of create a more evolving conversations. You can also follow us on the MedTech World socials on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube. And now we've put in a new feature where if you go on Spotify, you don't only see the audio of the podcast, but you can also see the video there. So that's something a bit unique that we're working on. And with that in mind, thank you, Mark, and we'll see you at the next interview.